This is Gilbert Andrew Garcia of A Tip from Gilbert, talk, inspiration, and prayer. Listen to my show every Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ, 1360 AM, KYOK, 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230KCOH.com, Sankeet Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH, 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.
All right, Houston and Harris County, you have me with another tip from me, talk, inspiration, and prayer. This is Gilbert Garcia, and we have a really big show today. And I'm going to first start us out because we have a caller already, which is none other than probably one of the greatest mayors that we've ever had here in the city of Houston, which is Anise Parker. Anise Parker, are you there?
I am, Gilbert, and you've made my day. I appreciate the compliment.
Well, I so mean it, because when you think back in time, if you go back, you've done so many things. There are so many things that happened in your watch. There's so many difficulties in the city at the time, the economics, and you really navigated us through some really, really interesting times. And I really wanted to talk to you today because I know that there was a Hobby School of Public Affairs survey, and they really surveyed about everything in Harris County, people that might be candidates for judge and other people. And I was surprised at how low our county judge, Lena Hidalgo, showed up in that poll. Did you get a chance to see that?
I did. Obviously, I looked at the poll because I was in it.
And of course. and by the way, you scored the highest. Now, that doesn't surprise me at all. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Mayor.
No, but what people have to recognize is that they looked at the favorables and the unfavorables. And Lena has high favorables and high unfavorables, and they just about match. She's about dead even. I have a lot higher favorable than unfavorable. There's some other people who are thinking about running, and they are more closely matched. Someone like Lena is. The problem for Lena is that she doesn't have any place to go. Everybody knows her, and they've already formed their opinions. So I was very pleased with the results, and I'm going to spend the next few months up until the March primary trying to introduce myself to the voters who don't know me, mostly people who weren't in Houston when I was mayor.
Very interesting. Well, you know, Mayor, what's interesting too is when you think about Lena, it just seems that, and maybe I'm just not in tune, that it's unusual for an incumbent to have such high negative or unfavorable polling numbers. Is that normal, or am I just missing something?
Well, it's a bad sign. I won't say whether it's normal or not. It kind of depends on the job you do, and people pay attention. Now, she has fairly high popularity among Democrats, but incredibly low popularity among Republicans and independents. So she has the potential to do well in a primary, but would be challenged in November. I did well across all demographics, and that was good news for me.
What's interesting, though, Mayor, is when you look, because they had the whole net approval of all the commissioners to court, and all of them were much higher than Lena's numbers. All of them.
Correct, and they were all.
I had a really small. I apologize, there, Mayor. I got unplugged there. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you. They were all kind of grouped together. I think overall, people think that the commissioners are doing a good job and focused on business, but they had concerns. I mean, the other part of that poll, and I would encourage people to go to the Hobby Center website and take a look at the information, is the concerns that people had. Obviously, people are concerned about emergency management, because we just watched what happened in Kerr County. But they're worried about affordability. They're worried about crime. They want their roads fixed. They want to be able to navigate through the city. Those are all through the area rather than not the city. They're all, those are all county responsibilities.
Well, let me ask you, Mayor, what do you think is the biggest role that the county judge had? When you, if you were to say the role of the county judge is this, and what is the main difference between it as head of the commissioner's court and so forth versus the mayor of the city of Houston?
So the mayor of Houston is a chief executive officer, and the mayor has all administrative authority in the city. All 24,000 city employees report to the mayor. The county is a very different function. The mayor is the presiding officer over city council, and council members have a vote, but the mayor controls the agenda. And the commissioner's court, they're more co-equal. The county judge presides, but is just one vote. And the commissioners largely control their own agenda. The big authority for the county judge is in emergency management. What happens, and again, we've been watching what unfolded in Central Texas after the Independence Day floods, but the local authorities, mayors and county judges, are responsible for emergency management. Put a period at the end of that sentence. And so the single biggest responsibility is to make sure in a crisis that the county responds appropriately.
Wow. Well, you know what? I think I would put a exclamation point after that, because, you know, we have seen what can happen when Mother Nature, I don't even know if that's the right phrase to say anymore, but nature in general unleashes the power of what may be happening with its climate change and the like. But when you have a big rainstorm, it is so dangerous.
It's only going to get worse. And we are in the hurricane belt here on the Gulf Coast. And it is something, hopefully we won't have one this year, but certainly every 5 years or so, one of them comes through, and they're getting stronger. They're getting worse. These are worse rain events. So the responsibility that's falling on local mayors and county judges is to meet the moment and step up and be prepared.
Well, Mayor,
make sure that their teams are prepared.
Yeah, as a registered voter, which is me, we sure want you to run, and so I'm so thrilled that you are running. So I want to have you on my show. Let's work it out, because I think, you have a lot to say, and there are probably very few people. And I can't imagine anyone really as qualified as you are to be county judge. Has there been a mayor then become county judge before?
Not that I am aware.
I mean, you talk about, you were a council person, you've been an activist, you were controller, you were mayor. My goodness, if there's anyone who knows public service, it's you. So welcome back. We're ready for you. And then call back soon, okay, Mayor? Or I'm going to have you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You take care.
Thank you, Mayor. Houston, that is Mayor Anise Parker in Harris County, who is a candidate for the Democratic Party for county judge. And again, she is fantastic. But we have another person I'm going to add on, and this is Representative Christina Morales. Ms. Representative, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. And boy, I see your really wonderful glasses there. I mean, they're stylish. I love them. But in all seriousness, these are really difficult times, Representative. And you are there in the trenches. It's almost like just open, hand-to-hand combat or something. I saw one of the members that was running for Isaiah for CD's 18. I saw that he was arrested to talk about this whole gerrymandering and so forth. Give us the lesson before you just tell us. Oops, I lost my thing again. Hang on. Hold on. Okay, give us the lesson real quick.
But sure.
What is normal for the whole redistricting process? Because if I'm not mistaken, this is not normal. So go for it.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for wanting to educate your viewers about what's going on in the Texas legislature. But we normally have a redistricting, which is where we redistribute folks, you know, according to the population growth and so on and so forth. We normally do that right after the census is done. So we did it in the normal fashion. It was a little delayed because the census was a little delayed, but we did it in 2021. We created new districts, and we're actually in a lawsuit because my district, for example, lost 8% of its Latino population. So there were a lot of issues, and we filed a lawsuit. So the state of Texas came in and said, no, we like the way these maps are, and they were not against the law. So they defended the way the maps are right now, the way Congressional District 18 is, the way Congressional District 29 is, and 9. I overlap with all three of those. But probably in March of this year, I'm guessing, Donald Trump's advisors told him he needs more seats in Congress. His popularity has gone way down, and they're going to see a lot of wins by Democrats in the midterm. So in order to thwart that, to take advantage and rig the election, they want to do this mid-census redistricting, which is unheard of. This is not normal. This is gerrymandering on steroids that we're doing this in 2025. And, you know, to be quite honest, I don't think anybody in Texas wants it, including Republicans. But because Donald Trump has said, I need 5 more seats out of Texas, my reliable red state of Texas, we need to do redistricting now. So that's what we're seeing happening. And the governor did not defend Texas. He is doing the bidding of Donald Trump.
So let's go back for one second, if you don't mind, Representative. Is it the jurisdiction of the legislature to do the maps?
Yes. And that's one thing I think could confuse people. There's so many things that could are confusing. But yes, the state representatives are the ones who actually vote on the maps. So we are the ones who look at the maps and bring our constituents to come and speak either for or against the maps. And what's really telling is we're having these hearings in the Senate and in the House, and people are showing up and saying, where are the maps? We haven't even seen them. And why are you going to redraw these maps right now, mid-census?
So you mean to tell me, and you're telling all Harris County here and the 5 stations, and I know PBS is here, you're telling us that, you know, they are now going hearings, having hearings, and people are there, and there's no maps yet?
There are no maps.
How can you even know what you know or don't know or what you like or don't like if you don't even have it to present? Isn't that strange?
It's very strange. It's very outrageous. People should be furious. And so far, I have not seen one person come and speak in favor of this redistricting, Democrat or Republican. So, yeah, these are crazy times right now. And folks need to be paying attention, because the other big thing that we need to think about is redistricting in Texas. If Donald Trump was able to get the 5 seats that he wants, this will impact every person in America. People are terrified right now of losing their health care, either through Medicaid or Medicare. And we don't know if Donald Trump wants Congress to ensure that he wins a third term. I mean, crazy things will be coming out of Congress if Donald Trump had a huge lead in Congress, you know, had enough votes and some cushion there in Congress. Right now, he has a razor thin majority, so he wants a bigger cushion.
So let's go back through this, if you don't mind. So this normally happens every 10 years. We have the census, as everyone knows, all our citizens. The government goes around and counts everybody, and they have their models to really make assumptions for, you know, all the demographics and so forth. And then they split up all the districts, whether it's the state rep districts or it's the congressional districts to make sure that things are kind of even in population. Am I generally correct?
Yes, you are generally correct. Yes. Okay.
And so you're telling us that they did that, or we as a state did it right during the last census, or right there in 2021 or two.
Yes.
And saying that those maps, which everyone agreed with, or at least everyone voted on, I don't want to say we agreed on, but everyone voted on and it passed, those are lawsuits and they're still pending?
Yes, there's still a pending lawsuit right now. And, you know, the Ken Paxton's office is defending the maps in that lawsuit. But now they're kind of going back on what everything that they said and did and trying to do this redistricting. And, you know, this is truly going to dilute the Latino and Black voices, all the minority voices in Texas. So I mentioned that I overlap with three of the districts that the Department of Justice named in a letter. District 29, which is represented by Sylvia Garcia, a tough fighter for our working families. Representative Al Green, another tough fighter for our working families in education and healthcare. And the third one was the seat formerly held by our beloved Sylvester Turner, who is now no longer with us. So, you know, that seat's up in the air right now. We don't know who's going to be the next representative of that seat. But it has been traditionally an African-American seat held by Barbara Jordan and Mickey Leland. And so these seats could lose their strong, bold leadership who have been people of color with the redistribution of folks in those districts.
So let's go through one, and I'm not putting you on the spot, but for example, Sylvia Garcia. So right now, if I'm not mistaken, it's a heavy representation of Hispanics. There's some African Americans, et cetera. And so what they're trying to do is move some of those out of that district into some of the other surrounding districts. Is that
yes.
generally it?
Yes. And if you look at the maps now, they're already gerrymandered as it is. there's these weird, you know, configuration. It almost looks like artwork. And what we're going to see.
Right? Modern art. Does it say right? modern art, like an, art, like an amoeba.
But right? please, and yeah. so one of the phrases I heard recently is we're going to turn these into bacon strips, like these long strips that, I mean, who knows? You could have a Houston district connected to San Antonio. This is just unheard of and crazy. You're going to be pulling into this Democrat strongholds. You're going to be putting more Republican voters in those districts so that they could potentially turn Republican. So,
well, what's interesting is the great irony. Sometimes you be careful what you ask for because you might get it. By diluting, say, CD29, they will be then putting a lot of Hispanics or African-Americans or both in some of the Republican districts around. And with time, we're going to grow because we've been growing. If I were one of those Republicans around it, I might say, wait a minute, I like my district the way it is. I mean,
exactly.
Am I missing something?
No, you're absolutely right. Behind closed doors and off the record, Republican members of Congress have said they don't like this idea because even if the district remains Republican, they're going to have a primary probably because you're going to have new right. influx of folks into those districts. And that's going to cause problems for them. You know, they're going to have new people who don't know these representatives and it's going to create change. And, you know, when you take from one district, you know, you have to give to another one. So it's going to have a ripple effect. And I can assure you that there is nobody who wants to see these changes except for Donald Trump and his advisors. So, but we have a governor who is just bowing down and saying, okay, we'll give you what you want. And I don't think they were prepared for this. And sadly, very, very sadly, We're using the floods that happened in the Hill Country and THC and other items on the special session agenda. There's about 18 of them. We're using other issues to bring us back and lure us back to the Capitol. But the real priority is redistricting. We've had 7 hearings for just redistricting and not one yet on the horrific floods that happened in the Hill Country. So that just shows the priorities of the governor right now and the House and Senate. And it's just very, very sad. And people should be alarmed. And I do want you to know that there is a nuclear option that Democrats have, and that is to break quorum. You know, the ways we fight back is by putting amendments and giving our own maps and, trying to filibuster a little bit to waste the time so that the maps don't pass. But we have an option to leave the state and not give quorum to the Republicans to pass this. And I am in favor of that nuclear option. I think that we are at an all-time low with everything that's happening, not only in our state, but in our nation. So I think hopefully we'll see something happen soon.
Well, what's interesting is what a sacrifice for all of the representatives to do that, because you've been through this rodeo before. And how long did y'all break quorum last time?
So last time it was well over 30 days. I think it was like 37, 38 days. I stayed gone the entire time.
So that means you weren't with your family. You weren't with your staff. You're just there hiding out, eating, you know, Burger King or something.
Yes. I mean, goodness. We didn't have kitchens, so we had to eat out every day, and we had to go find a laundromat. We were in a hotel. So it was difficult. It was hard to be away from family, but I did have a couple of visits from my family. They flew in to meet with us while we were in DC. But I think there's a bigger appetite among Democrats to support a quorum break, and hopefully we'll have the support of not only Texas Democrats, but across the nation, so that we could do something like this. Because also, we are going to be charged $500 a day every day that we don't show up. So there's going to be a lot of costs involved if we do that. So we will need folks to send donations and help us stop this, or at least delay it so that it's not ready and for the next election.
Well, we certainly need to bring attention to it, if nothing else, just so people know what's happening.
Exactly.
Well, this $500 a day for each representative?
Yes.
Oh my goodness! Is that out of your own pocket, or is that
out of our own pocket? Which is another thing that is, we would literally be charged that $500 a day out of our own pockets. It cannot come out of our campaign account. So I can't call you up and say, Gilbert, give me a donation to pay for this. No, we can't do that. But we're gonna. You know, what is the price tag for American democracy? Because like I said, Donald Trump could win a third term if this plan works out. And can we put a price tag on American democracy and following the Constitution? I don't think so. And I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. And even if it comes out of my own pocket, I think I want to be on the right side of history for sure.
Well, let me ask you this, and obviously, you know, you're talking to all of Harris County and Houston right now, and so don't give away any, I don't know, secrets or strategy. when will you know these things? I mean, like, when will a maps come forward, and when will you know, okay, we're making a decision that we're not going to be part of this, and we're all moving to than the East Coast or something? I mean, when does the crescendo happen?
So that's a great question. And let me tell you, my life is so up in the air right now because everything is a secret and I don't even know any details, and I can't know any details because this could come to some kind of lawsuit or judgment or anything like that later. So everything is held very tight to the chest, and I have no clue. And there may be just this one, like the maps come out and we just realize we cannot stand by and watch this happen. And that's when we have to leave. So it is a very, very fluid situation. And I just encourage folks to stay tuned and watch what's going on, not only in our state, but in our country. And if you are a person of color, just know that our voices are going to be diluted once these maps pass, or if these maps pass. So it's really important that we do everything within our power to stop it.
You know, it all comes back to, Representative, that elections matter.
Yes.
You know, it really comes back to elections matter. And so, gosh, if there's one lesson, is make your voice known and vote. I mean, I cannot say enough. Harris County, Houston, we've got to vote. No matter what side you're on, make your voice heard, but vote, because these things matter. Well, let me ask you, Representative, how does this whole thing work? Because, and I'm sure you don't quite know, but, you know, you have neighborhoods that have been neighborhoods since Houston began. Are we going to be splitting up neighborhoods to make these maps work?
Absolutely. I
mean, how do you split up, you know, Denver Harbor? How do you split up Acres Home? How do you do that? Because you have a homogenous group with homogenous interests, and they have the same schools. I mean, it makes sense that they should be in the district together because they have the same wants and desires and needs, et cetera. But if you split them up, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yes. What about Houston? Forgive me, I had to plug in my computer. It was dying. But you're absolutely right, Gilbert. You can have your neighbor across the street be in a different congressional district than you are. And I know this because I was part of the redistricting in 2021. And because my district was impacted so much, as a newer member of the legislature, I was like the last one to be able to get my lines drawn, and they were showing me little neighborhoods. And when you look at mine, I mean, there's just a little carve out of the Garden Oaks neighborhood. I only have one little section of that neighborhood. So I've already been a part of this and seen how this impacts communities. And so we will see that. You know, look at your neighbor across the street, and they may be in a different congressional district than you. And that's just not how this is supposed to work. And let me tell you, too, that Democrats and Republicans are guilty of gerrymandering. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that we support that. And I can tell you, you know, we should have competitive districts, but this is just totally rigging things. And as Governor Pritzker, I went to visit him on Friday, and he said, this is cheating and we should not allow this to be happening. And we have to figure out how to retaliate.
And that's, of course, the governor of Illinois. And, you know, I think all of America is watching what you and your colleagues are going to do. I really mean it, not to put pressure on you, but I think all of America is watching. Because if you can do a, I'm going to use a term, I don't know if this is the correct term or not, but mid-census changing of maps, well, then no map is sacred, because then you can do it anytime you want. And you can do it in any state you want at any point in time. Whoever is in power at the time can just change it all up. Then you really have no way to really plan and budget accordingly and so forth. So I think all of America is watching Texas to see how are we going to handle this? And hopefully the message that the governor of Illinois and California and others got was, maybe they're going to need to do this to,
yes,
sort of, I don't know, balance it out or something like that.
We have to fight fire with fire. And I think that we do have a wonderful governor in Illinois and California and other states who are willing to step up and help us with this, you know, this rigging of the next election. So we're talking to them now and just letting them know exactly what's happening in Texas. And, you know, I shared how in my district, I have all HISD are the schools in my district, are part of Houston Independent School District. And we are literally in a takeover by the the state. And, you know, the next person who could be the Congress member may not even understand what it's like to have a district that's taken over by the state. And certainly the governor of Illinois doesn't understand. So we were there to explain some of the issues that are going on in these smaller districts within our state. We've got people who are calling our office because they got letters that they're going to be taken off of Medicaid and Medicare. These are huge impacts to the community. The community is scared and worried right now. We've seen cuts to SNAP benefits. Our governor literally vetoed, which is just incredibly cruel, vetoed summer lunch programs for kids. We just had an event over the weekend where we handed out food to families. And we're so grateful for our sponsors that we were able to do that, because we know families, there are people going hungry. There are people that are having just one meal a day instead of two or three. So, there are some major, major issues happening, and let's not forget the cost of groceries, you know? You know, there's so much going on, and, we need to let folks know around the nation how this impacts not only us, but everyone across the United States.
And and has this happened before, a mid-cycle changing of maps? I recall that something happened before, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So Tom DeLay, I believe it was in 2013. There was a similar situation, and there was a quorum break, but we've not seen anything to this level. You know, this is just really unprecedented. And to have the president of the United States literally on camera say, we can get 5 seats out of Texas, to be so blatant with wanting to rig the next election is just unheard of. We know the popularity ratings of this Donald Trump are just way down, and they're going to have huge losses in the midterms. And the only way to make up for this is to find seats in not only Texas, but other Republican states. And we have seen this before. The only reason that there's a razor thin majority in Congress, in the House of Representatives, is because this was done in North Carolina during their last legislative session. And that was where they were able to pick up a couple of extra Republican seats. And, you know, sadly, you see that Sylvester Turner passed away, and we have an empty seat in Congressional District 18. And that will not have a special election until November, which is so disappointing. So that district remains without a voice since the passing of Sylvester Turner. I believe that was in March. So we have these people have no voice right now. And the big, beautiful bill passed by just one or two votes in the House. And one of those votes against it could have been Sylvester Turner's vote. But because our governor used this as a way to take advantage for Donald Trump, here we have an empty seat, which remains, you know, empty and without a vote and without a voice. And no, these people can't even call their member of Congress when they have issues, veterans issues or Medicaid issues or issues with passports, which we know right now in our Latino community, people are terrified of being deported without due process. And they are carrying their passports around because they're scared.
I saw where one of the countries, I forgot if it was Venezuela, what had a Little League team, and they were going to be in the Little League World Series here in the U.S., and they couldn't get a passport to come participate. It's unbelievable what it's coming down to. Hold on one second, Christina. Representative, we have a call that just came in here for you.
Sure.
Is there Michelle there?
Hi.
Michelle, you have me and Representative Christina Morales. We're talking about the gerrymandering, the changing of the maps, whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, we're talking about it. What do you got?
Right. And thank you again for coming and speaking on this podcast today. You know, I was just curious that, you know, as a university student, how can youth contribute to either informing themselves about the Houston redistricting issues or even help contribute to mitigating the tensions that are arising with redistricting?
Thank you for that question, Michelle. In other words, Representative Morales, how can we get young people to understand what's going on?
It's all about educating our young folks, and the young folks in particular who really have the power to create the change that we want to see. I would encourage you to host your own kind of town hall to educate some of your friends and fellow students. We had a town hall and we had great attendance, and it's on my Facebook page if you want to go back and watch that town hall. But it's going to take everyone watching and getting educated about what's going on. And it is so important that young voices especially are participating and encouraged to even run for office. I mean, and get involved in campaigns. And, you know, the Congressional District 18 has many folks who are running for that seat. And that's a perfect opportunity to get involved in an election now and understand the process and what's going on. And letting the young folks know that they really don't have a voice when they don't come out and vote. And we see it time and time again that our young folks are not engaged and not voting in the numbers that we would like to see. I mentioned earlier that we had an event over the weekend. And every time we have events like this, we have folks there to register people to vote. So another thing that you can do is get your you can get your VDR to get folks registered to vote, because you have to have a special license to be able to do that. But go out and get your friends registered to vote and start educating them about what's going on and how it's going to impact them on their day in their daily lives.
So, Representative, what is your website? Would you tell, or your Facebook? Give all that out to everybody.
Sure. It's Rep Morales 145, and that's on Facebook, Instagram. We also have Blue Sky and Threads. And then I have a TikTok account, Rep Morales 145, that I manage myself. I make all my own videos and I'm getting a lot of traction there. So for those TikTokers out there, I encourage you to follow my TikTok page.
So, Michelle, hopefully we answered your question. I think the most important thing, Michelle, get involved. Get involved. Make your voice heard. Register to vote. Get other people registered to vote. It matters. You know, it's not a coincidence that one of the areas of or demographics that has very low turnout are young people. And it's not a coincidence. So if you look, the young people, their unemployment rate, meaning how many are not able to find jobs, is higher than the rest of the country. So all of these things come together and they matter. So, Michelle, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, no, thank you so much.
Well, Representative, anything else you want to say to the group? And by the way, I mean, do you have a suitcase ready to go? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's just like, you know how you see the old I Love Lucy and things like that when they're waiting for little Ricky to be born and they have it all ready and for Lucy and Ricky and the Mertzes to go. I mean, do you have your suitcase ready to go? Because you're not going to have a lot of time. There's not going to be a lot of notice.
Yes. You know, I mentioned I've been through this before and I remember how it went down last time and I was regretting not bringing this thing or this item or, yep. Oh, I forgot this. And so this time around, actually, before we even showed up the first day of session, I went on ahead and packed a bag just in case. And I made sure I remembered those things that I might need to have if we're gone for a while. So I did pack my bag. I have it sitting in the trunk of my car. And, you know, this is a fluid situation. Yeah. And I really don't know what's going to be happening next week. So, and, you know, we don't get a lot of notice, even what's going on in the legislature. I'm waiting to see the notice come out for when we have a hearing in Kerr County to hear from those victims. But what I'm finding out is that it's going to be a closed session with just invited members. And so that's very disappointing that the people who were directly impacted, very few of them are going to have an opportunity to speak to the members of the legislature. And so we're watching that very closely too. We do need a flood mitigation and any kind of natural and man-made disaster mitigation and alerts and things like that. I did file a couple of bills in the special session because a lot of times when these alerts come out, they're only in English, and knowing that a good portion of our state constituency is Spanish speaking, I wanted the alerts to be bilingual. And so we're going to continue to work on that piece of legislation and hopefully get a hearing here in the special, which I seriously doubt. But another one is our chemical disaster alert. So we filed a bill during the regular session. We never got a hearing, but because part of my district is right along the Port of Houston, where a lot of these chemical plants are located, the impacts of a flood in those areas is just could be devastating to the people in that area just because of the chemicals alone that are being processed there. So we want chemical disaster alerts to go to your phone, just like Amber Alerts, for those people in that area if they needed to evacuate. We think that we need to make sure that all of our community is prepared. So
we are so glad to have you there in the legislature. And you know what? Hold on one second, because I've got a special guest that wants to come on. Is he there? Can we put him on? We're going to try to do a three-way. Senator, are you there?
I am here, Brother Gilbert.
I have Christina Morales on the line. We've been talking this gerrymandering, the whole redistricting, and we have Senator Boris Miles with us.
Hi there, Senator.
How you doing, Representative?
Good, good. I know you're having a good fight. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I'm driving back up to Austin now. That's why I'm not visual, but I wanted to make sure I got on with my good friend Gilbert Garcia and you, Representative. It's a fight, Gilbert. We're in a fight. We're fighting for our lives. We're fighting for our democracy. We're fighting for all the history that's gone on with Barbara Jordan and us getting our Civil Rights Act and getting our districts protected by people like Donald Trump. And it's a fight. And it's not an even fight.
Well, let me ask this, Senator, because are you on the committee for redistricting?
Yes, I am. Yes.
And tell us what you can tell us, if you can tell us. When is the crescendo? When are we going to see the maps? When do we know what this is all, you know, about?
I wish I knew, Gilbert. I really wish I knew when we were going to see these maps. You know, when Lieutenant Governor called me and asked me to sit on this committee, I really couldn't see the fight going any other way. If we were going to lose our maps, I wanted to be in the room to redraw these maps. I wanted to be in and not out so that I can have some say, so they can understand our position and the community that I serve, their voice, and hear their voice. Because for a long time, these districts have been protected. And when we redistricted in 21, everything was just fine. Republicans signed off on them, said they were, you know, they were legal. And here we are, mid-decade, redoing maps again because the Department of Justice has requested it through Donald Trump so that he can secure the House on the next election. That's what this is all about. And I've termed it rigged districting, not redistricting. My term for this is rigged districting.
Well, let me ask you this, Senator. I'm not trying to get any strategy here, but what's going to happen? Let's pretend that maps come out tomorrow. Are we going to be, breaking quorum, or what do you see happening?
You know, we're in the Senate, we're leaving everything on the table. Everything is optional, and we're going to try to work with our colleagues across the aisle and get them to understand and some fairness and you know, it's going to be really difficult because I can't understand. Our lines are so gerrymandered now, Gilbert. And if they want to break up the 18th and the 9th, how do they do that without putting their Republican colleagues around us in jeopardy? That's the big question.
And also, Senator, how do they do without breaking up neighborhoods that have been together since the dawn of time in this city? How can you split up Acres Home? How can you split up Denver Harbor? How do you split up these communities?
It's going to be difficult. And our job is to complete, to work hard and fight hard to keep those African-American districts together, keep the Hispanic districts together, so that they're not disenfranchised. And then democracy is just not taken away.
And what's interesting, Senator, is do you recall, I think only one time, at least that I'm aware of, that they tried this in a mid in the middle of a census. Isn't this unusual?
It's, oh yeah, it's definitely unusual. But let me say this, Gilbert, in the history of Texas, going all the way back to the 1950s, any type of redistricting, suppression, lines of being drawn, any type of, you know, hanky-panky that's gone on since the 1950s was always won in a court of law by minorities. There's not been one case since 1950 that did not go in the way of the minority citizens of Texas.
Wow. Well, let me ask you this. You know, when do you think the crescendo happens? In other words, when will the maps, when will the vote happen? I mean, is this something that's day to day, or is this something that's going to be targeted a month from now? And what about all the other things, you know, the flood and all the other things that were supposedly going to be part of this special session?
Well, the flood committee has met. The flood committee has met. The THC committee has met. But the primary issue that's going on in Washington, in Austin right now, is redistricting. Excuse me. And I couldn't tell you when we're going to get maps. You know, like last night, I got a call. Be in Austin at 3 o'clock. So I'm on my way to Austin right now. Everything is up in the air, Gilbert. And I'm sure the representative understands that we're at the call of the governor. Just that simple.
Well, I understand if you wait for them that they're going to fine you $500 a day.
That's on the House side.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for clarification.
And you know what, Gilbert, you're right. We should be addressing the flood mitigation issues. We should be addressing, you know, THC. I mean, they put 18 things on the call. But so far, we've been addressing nothing but redistricting. And that's it. And I call it rig districting, like I said earlier.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there other Democrats on the committee?
Say again?
Are there other Democrat colleagues of yours on your redistricting committee?
Yeah, I've got the great pleasure of working with our Senate Democratic leader, Carol Alvarado, and Chuy Hinojosa. Those are the other two Democrats, and you know, it's 6-3. They've got 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats. But you know, it doesn't take much, because I can tell you, on this last week that we were there, myself and Carol tag teamed them, and we worked them hard. We got a subpoena going out to the Department of Justice. Senator King is going to send a letter to see if they can get the young lady who wrote the letter from the DOJ, get her down here. You know, we are working it hard. And, you know, our lives, our democracy, our communities, all of our history stands on this. And we understand that.
Well, what's interesting to me, Senator, is, you know, the population of the various communities are growing. If you dilute, whether it's 29 or whether it's 18, and if you move out people of color into some of the other districts, I would think some of those Republican congresspersons would say, wait a minute, you're changing my district. You're going to make me vulnerable. I mean, what am I missing there?
And some of them are saying that, Gilbert, because it's absolutely correct. You know, look, we are working hard, but we know the cards are stacked against us. This is rigged districting, but we're still in the fight, Gilbert. We're going to stay in the fight. and we're going to, you know, follow this all the way to the end. The population growth has all been black and brown, but yet they want to reduce black and brown districts in the state of Texas. I've always said the strength of Texas lies in its diversity. Texas will never live up to its full strength until Texans embrace the diversity of Texas. It just doesn't make sense.
And what's interesting about diversity is who can be against giving opportunity and letting the cream rise? I mean, who can really be against that unless you've got some type of agenda? Because the whole thing is about opportunity. And why would you let people not reach their full potential? It makes no sense to me.
Because Trump is afraid that he can lose the House, you know, and it's dictatorship, and it's, you know, it's Trump rolling back the hands of time, taking democracy away from the people. And it just makes no sense that the growth of Texas has been black and brown, but yet we're here to reduce the black and brown districts.
And what's also just doesn't make sense to me, Senator, is here we are in a lawsuit from the first redistricting of this decade, and we haven't even settled that, and here we want to do it again.
And
the very same people that supported the first one are now, I guess, saying, well, we didn't do it right that time. It's just...
Well, it sure was right when they were finishing it up on the Senate floor. They said it was all right and legal. But you know what? Gilbert, this gets down to, you know, we have a Republican body in both chambers that can't self-think. They get a demand down from Trump, and they march to the tune of Trump. You know, it's like my colleague Carol, the very first day, and when we had a small caucus meeting, she sat there and she literally told them, you know, get a spine, grow some balls. They think for nobody, but they don't think for themselves, and they're willing to do whatever it is that Trump mandates down for them to do. It's just that simple.
Wow.
It's sad. It's sad because we can fight it, we can fight it, we can fight it, we can yell from the highest mountain, but at the end of the day, and they're cocky and they're conceited and they're arrogant about it, Gilbert. I mean, you know, they know they've got the votes. They're coming into our neighborhoods for hearings. And in the Senate, they're not even having live human interviews. They're all virtual. I mean, how cocky is that?
Yeah. Well, it's almost like window dressing. But, you know, we've got... Yeah.
Keep in mind, all this is being done on a map no one has seen.
No one has seen. You know, the phones are lighting up. I know you're driving, but if you could stay on just a little bit more. And I know, Christina, you're very busy, but... We have a Linda. Let's see if Linda's got a question for us. Linda, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You got me, Gilbert Garcia, with a tip from me, with Christina Morales, our state representative, and Boris Miles, our state senator. What do you have for either one of them?
Well, I have for both of them kudos to them for how they stood with us, Community Voices for Public Education, on the standoff for HISD. And my question, I have a question about District 18's runoff. What I see is the possibility of a Republican winning if the runoff gets the most votes. That's my problem, because the letter that Texas gets is the debtor it's going to get to serving its constituents. I wrote Ms. Hudspeth, and I got the proclamation that the governor is going by, but I don't see the division between, is it going to be, it's going to be Democrats and Republicans, and then they're going to run off against each other. I don't even see that. And that's what concerns me most. We would be dead if we didn't have Democrats that forced Texas to allow us to get tests and everything else. They were not Republicans, were busy charging us or turning us away, or even then there wasn't a test, then we were turned away, then they told us that we had to pay this, then we had to have Sheila Jackson Lee, Boris Miles, and the rest of our Democratic representatives come. And thank you so much for reminding us that it's a holiday. Fine. my two questions. District 18, how's this runoff going to happen? I see that a Republican's going to win. And on the Reddit, but how are we ever going to be, how are we ever going to be represented?
Thank you for that question. Mm-hmm. Senator Miles, you have a thought about what's happening there in 18? Oh, did I lose?
Oh, I'm here.
I'm here. The special election will be on the current map.
Any changes?
Okay, any changes on the map will be going forward for the March primary. So that's how that's going to work. Do you understand that, ma'am?
Yeah. I think we may have lost her. But that's good to know. We have another caller already, though, Senator. Stay with me. What is that other name? Michael, is there a Michael on the line? Michael, are you there, my friend? Michael.
Yes, hello?
Michael, you got me, Gilbert Garcia, tip from me, with Senator Boris Miles and Representative Christina Morales. What do you got for us?
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me on. I just want to have a quick question for Senator Miles. So Senator Miles, I had the pleasure of knowing you for a while now, and I just want to say first and foremost, thank you so much for all you've done for both the Black community in Houston and the Third Ward community. My question for you is, as one of two Black senators in the Texas Senate, can you kind of just get us into what does a day in your life look like in that aspect? How are you going in, representing this large population of Black Texans? With only two senators and having to fight for our communities in the midst of these redistrictings and Republican, pressures. So if you take us into what that's like.
Thank you, Michael. Senator, what say you?
Michael, let me first thank you for the compliments, for the work that I've done and thus far. I had the honor and the pleasure of working and representing the district that I was born and raised in. So it's not that difficult for me because I love my community and I stand on the shoulders of each and every one of the people that live there. And you're right, Michael, it's difficult. I have to get my mind right every morning going into these hearings because I know that the DOJ wrote a letter focusing on my district, And being one of two Black senators in the Senate, and then being one of three Democrats on the committee, it's tough. But you got to stay sharp. You got to stay ready, and you got to read and listen to everything that's being said. And to fight for my people. It comes natural to me, Michael. It really does. Because, injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere. And like I told my Republican colleagues, today it's us. With Trump, it could be you tomorrow. It could be them tomorrow. But the bottom line is, we're going to fight and fight and fight. And, hey, I've been fighting since I got to the Capitol. Gilbert, you know that.
Yeah.
My district is on the bottom of all the lease charts. Okay. We need a lot in my district. And I don't mind fighting. I just don't, because it's the right thing to do. I stand on the shoulders of Barbara Jordan, Craig Washington, Rodney Ellis. Okay. How can I not fight? And I use every tool that I have. And I'm not afraid, okay? I cannot stand in the room and be afraid because I have so many people relying on me. So as I always say, you see the bottom of my letters or my tags, I keep my faith and I keep on fighting.
Amen to that. Senator, I didn't mean to cut you off. Michael, we appreciate you. I'm going to give you 30 seconds here, Christina, and then I'm going to come back to you, Senator Miles, and give you 30 seconds. This is the end of our time. I know it flew, but this was an important episode. Representative Morales, what do you got? Oh, we lost you.
I'm here.
No, we lost Christine. There you go, Christine.
Thank you for putting this call together. It's been an honor to be on this call with you, with Senator Miles. And I know he's helping our Senator Alvarado with the fight on the redistricting committee, which is so vital and important. We will continue to fight, and we are ready to use every tool that we have, and even the nuclear option, which is to break quorum. I know that we're ready for that on the House side. I think we want to see the maps. We're going to continue to ask for them. And we just need the community to stay engaged, follow our social media so that you're educated about what's going on. And you should be really, really concerned that where you, whatever congressional district you are in now, right now, could change in a matter of a few weeks right now in Texas. And this is going to impact not only Texas and not only Houston, but everyone around the nation. So the impacts of this redistricting are huge. And let's not forget that.
So let's vote. Representative Miles, what do you got? You got 30 seconds, my friend.
Representative Miles, let me say that Christina is one of our faithful, hardworking soldiers. I'm happy to have her in part of my district. And she's right. Look, Gilbert, let's close that door. Look, Gilbert, Senate District 13 was the last remaining majority African-American district in the state of Texas. Do you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
It is the last remaining majority African-American district in the state of Texas. I cannot stand by and allow them to despair and to break it up. I cannot, not under my watch. Especially when we're having so many African Americans move to the great state of Texas, and particularly in Houston. And the same thing with Latino votes. We cannot go backwards, Christina, can we?
No.
No, we cannot. Okay? So we're going to use every tool in our toolbox, everything we got to get done to make sure. And then when that's done, Gilbert, when the vote is taken, you can expect a lawsuit to be filed.
There you go. And you know what, Senator, we cannot thank you enough for joining us, Representative Morales. And I'm going to have y'all back again, because this story is just beginning. So to Harris County, this is Gilbert Garcia saying we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Gilbert. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Representative.
Listen to my great show Monday from 11 to 12 on KWWJ 1360 AM. KYOK 1140 AM, KCOH at 1230 KCOH.com, Sankeet Radio at 95.1 FM, 1460 AM, and Latino Sports, KEYH 850 AM. Call in at 832-570-8075 and follow me on social media. See you then.